In the mid-1970s, when New York City was in the midst of a crippling financial crisis, almost all funding for arts education in the public schools was eliminated. Philanthropist and art collector Agnes Gund stepped into the breach by founding the Studio in a School program. And since 1977, the nonprofit organization has brought professional artists into New York City public schools, teaching students painting, drawing, sculpture, and other art forms. I'm pleased to welcome Agnes Gund, who is also President Emerita of the Museum of Modern Art, to our show today to tell us about it. Hello.
Hello.
You're originally from Cleveland and have a master's degree in art history from Harvard. What brought you to New York? That we have more good art here? Because Cleveland has a very nice museum.
Well, it does. It is wonderful. I love the Cleveland Museum and have been associated with it for a long time. We've loaned things and given things to them in contemporary art. Sherman Lee wasn't as crazy about contemporary art as
he was a great Asia expert.
Yes, he was, and he formed a fabulous collection. But I came really because my husband had moved to Greenwich in the early 70s to run a school called Greenwich Country Day School. And so I came into New York quite a bit, and that was when, just when we were leaving to move up to Concord, Massachusetts, I read this article in the New York Times that said they were cutting from the schools all arts and music and even exercising and sports, you know, which I thought was really too bad. But I especially was moved by the fact that I thought everybody had a right to have art or music and dance and theater in their schools. So,
well, you already had a connection to the Museum of Modern Art. In fact, you've been on the board of MoMA since 1976, and you served as the museum's president from 1991 to 2002. You have this incredible art collection called Encyclopedic by many. So you already were involved with thinking about art. Did one connect to the other?
I think it did. I think having the right or the it wasn't a privilege to me to be able to have art. It was something every child should have. And I had realized more and more, I think, how important it was to have that in your life, that you do better with other things when you become visually intelligent, when you become able to really look at the world in terms of how it's made, how it's built, what it looks like, the different uses of color and light and texture and all the things that you can get from education. I was working with a woman named Patricia Hewitt, who is still on our board, who worked with a group called Joint Foundation Support, which was a pass-through organization to give monies, small amounts, to different needy organizations that might not otherwise have access. So I went to her and I said, instead of giving to these small things, I'd like to start, if we could, a program that would put the arts back in the schools. So she got in touch with Georgie Alexander Green, a woman that worked in the arts at that time. And Georgie found us three schools, two in Manhattan and one in the Bronx. And we started off with these three schools.
But did you have to deal with the feeling that many people have that the three R's are a lot more essential than the arts? When funding is tight, doesn't it mean that people automatically start cutting all funding for the arts?
Yeah,
is it non-essential?
They do, and it's still quite a problem in many schools, as you know. And it's still very much not something that people believe is essential to schooling and learning. And I believe just the opposite. I believe it not only enhances other subjects, and we do a lot with that, with science and art and math and art, but it also gives a child a confidence. It's like teaching them a language if they learn it early on. It's like teaching them to ski. Once you have it in your mind, you have that appreciation for looking and seeing, which is called visual intelligence, but to people seems boring in those terms. But it's a real gift to have.
Well, right now we are so focused on testing as a way of assessing what is good education, mm-hmm. bad education. But studies have been made that indicate that learning about the arts actually enhances learning about pretty much every other subject, all the academic subjects as well. But you started this at a time when New York City's financial condition was in pretty dire straits, wasn't it?
It was. There were very few jobs for anybody in the arts, and that's why we chose artists, hoping that it would help them get some health insurance and other insurances they needed, other help to work. These were all practicing artists, and that's why there were a lot of CETA people then trying to get jobs through different programs. There was really a need to provide people with, it was like a recession. The recession has been now, but it wasn't as noticed.
Maybe. Well, but the artists had been helped during the 30s by the WPA programs, and some pretty famous artists came out of that, probably would have had to have given up their art careers if they hadn't received that support. Mm-hmm. How did you determine who was a professional artist? Was it simply a matter of whether they were exhibiting or making a living or something of a living from their art?
Well, it was exhibiting, practicing their art on a level where they people knew about it and saw them in shows, and they had taught, and many of them had things like masters that they'd gotten. Some of them were qualified to teach in the public schools.
Others must have needed some training.
Yes, but others did, but they had to have. When we picked them, we picked about three that we then took to the schools. They had to have had some teaching experience in teaching art, and then they went to the principal of the school that wanted to have this program, and she or he picked the person that would be working with them. And this worked very well because it allowed the principal to have, well, the control over this person that they needed to have to make it work for their schools.
Well, you do need that cooperation from the principals.
Yeah.
And not all principals are open to this sort of thing. But the big problem today is that arts funding comes out of principals' budgets.
Yeah.
You were saving them that problem by providing the funding yourself?
We were saving them a lot of that problem. We had always, from the very beginning, said that the schools had to put something into it on themselves. They had to pay, say, for the supplies, or they had to pay for an aspect of the program. They also had to provide a room that was separate that we could work in. They were supposed to provide, you know, some kind of parent help that would come in, or paraprofessional help that would come and be an aid to the children. We also required that the teacher not take time away from the classroom at that time, but be there. And this helped us in the future a great deal, because having the teacher there, we then, when we had to go move on to another school, we came back with a part-time program that many of these schools used. And we had the teacher already to be able to sit in on the week that the teacher was out and follow through with the lesson plans that the teacher had, the artist teacher.
There are similar programs for writers and musicians. And there are people who object to the fact that the Board of Ed is relying on private philanthropists like you to do its job.
Well, I think they couldn't object to this because there was nobody being paid. It wasn't as if we were taking teachers away from the school system. We were putting them there. And then now that they have trained some other people and do have gotten other people to be teachers, they feel that we're just a help to them. I think some people say they would resent it, but then nobody's not hiring any of the teachers. I do think that when you mentioned before that the testing has affected the arts, the amount of schools that have art, that's very true, because the principals these days have a choice of what they want to do, and testing looms very large in their existence as principals, and
their jobs depend on having successes. Schools are evaluated based on whether they're improving according to test scores.
That's true.
Now, you had three schools initially.
Yes.
How many now?
And then we went, well, we've been in different 55 different kinds of schools or places. We have a lot of, we see about 30,000 kids a year. So we take that as a lot. We're in some schools, we're in some daycares, we're in different parts of the public system. We really have what I think is a wonderful part of the program. We've expanded and made different kinds of programs in early childhood. We have early childhood that I think is very important. They have some specific schools, as you know, that just have young children, pre-K and up to second grade. And this is where we feel we can make a great deal of difference. But we've also jumped to having high school kids come in on Saturdays and other days to learn enough to set up a portfolio to, you know, try to go to LaGuardia or to Pratt for college or to very many other schools, School of Visual Arts, Parsons, whatever they have an interest in. They've never had the chance to have somebody show them how to arrange a portfolio.
In fact, these classes are different from the art classes that were taught in the schools before the funding cuts, mm-hmm. where we used to throw paint at each other, I remember, at Eastern District High School. how does the program work? Is there a set curriculum, or do each of the artists create their own set of rules in the class they teach?
Well, there's a broad curriculum that's broad that the artists usually follow, because it gives them an anchor to be able to be at the right level for the right grade. You know, there's things that certain age children can't do as well or need to have a background in. So we do have some curriculum that's specific, but we don't have it without the artist having quite an impact on what's taught and how she or he teaches. The wonderful thing about the program that to me has been what's made it stay so good and such high quality is that we have mentors that work with the artist and come visit them and say, how does this work? And we have this new idea that maybe you'd like to try. And we have somebody that's always in touch with them from studio. And we really value that, having that.
My guest is Agnes Gund, who is the founder of Studio in a School program, now in its 35th year. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. So how much have things changed over the 35 years? You obviously learned from the early mistakes, or did you not make any mistakes at the beginning?
Oh, we certainly did make mistakes, and that's how we got Tom. Tom Cahill is the real heart and soul of Studio in the School. He's an incredible believer in arts education. He is an artist himself. He doesn't have any time to do his art, which is too bad. We tried to make way for that, but it's been impossible because he's gotten so involved with so many aspects of this. He knows the city like the back of his hand. He's very, he's lived here all the time. And the things that I enjoyed most about the early years of Studio after we hired him, which we did 2 years after the program began, was that he knew where good food was to eat, like different food than I'd ever had before. So we'd go on trips to visit the schools, and then I'd learn about all things that I didn't know anything about.
Because you were going into different neighborhoods with different ethnic. Different,
and he knew who had lived there before and who was moving in. And so it was very helpful. And it's been helpful making people really understand that he cares about this aspect. He isn't just doing something to make a job.
Well, 35 years ago, if you'd asked people what art was, they'd say painting, sculpture, drawing. Now it's installations and it's video,
performance.
Yeah. All of that been expanded into the curriculum?
Well, I think we do have aspects of that that are talked about by the teachers, and the kids see some of that when they go to museums, and I think they see it on the street. They see it in projects of public art that are all around. So I do think they are there's much expansion in what they do. There's also no specific field. Like, photography isn't just photography. It attaches to other things like video or like sculpture or something other than what it is. Printmaking, for instance, nobody really believes a lot of times that the prints are prints, that they're not drawings or paintings because they use the other medium in them. I think that we've been very influenced, and that's another reason for artists being there, by what artists are doing today and by what even a museum like the Modern that used to adhere fairly strictly and be very hidebound by its departments of photography or of architecture or prints and illustrated books, whereas now there's so much a choice. Like with the Cindy Sherman, it's not in photography just because it is using photography.
And the lines really have become blurred recently. Just a visit to the Whitney Biennial
will
give you an idea of, you know, like what some people think is art. And other people might even object that perhaps too many different things are being called art these days.
Oh, I think you're very right. And I think that, but the only way to see whether you like it or whether you agree is to see it and to have it yourself exposed to it.
So what happens? A principal says, we'd like to be part of this program, but we only want somebody who does sculpture, or do they just they accept whoever you send?
Yeah, they accept one of three people that we send, and we usually, they're all forms of artists that we have. We have textile artists as well as sculptors, painters, photographers, all kinds of people like that. The artist doesn't really teach their thing. They teach a curriculum that follows along a lot of media and that really deals with talking about the art and the art project. And that's where we are so excited about what it does for kids, because it gets kids not only to talk and verbalize their feelings about what they're doing, but to show their art in the end and to talk about other children's art. And we learned very early on from Frank Stella visiting that he said, the great thing about your program that I love is that the kids work together and they look at each other's work and they work from that, but they still do their own thing.
Frank Stella was one of the teachers?
Wait, no, he came for a visit to visit one of the schools, and because he's a friend, and he was so marvelous about saying, you know, at my art school, Andover and Princeton, I was told, don't look at that. Don't look at that other person's art because you want to have your own ideas. Whereas he said, you know, people just flourish with other ideas.
Now, all the time that you were engaged in this, you were also involved with the Museum of Modern Art mm-hmm. and with its expansion?
Yes, yes.
So how involved were you in making the Museum of Modern Art into something quite different from what it was before you arrived?
Well, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't the director or anything like that. I was a person that was involved with many other trustees in raising money for this new
wing. Well, it was
wing,
expensive, and, wasn't it?
Yes, it was extremely expensive, but so were all things that would have been of that quality. I think that we were very lucky to have Yoshio Taniguchi do it. I think we've learned so much from the use of his building, and we've been able to... At first, we didn't know what to do, say, with the center, you know, piece there, the big, you know, atrium, because the curators hadn't worked with something that size, with that height, with that kind of, you know, sort of grand central-ish kind of height. And now we've been able to use it for all kinds of things, including performances, including it just was over the wonderful German electronic work called Kraftwerk that we...
That's a current exhibit. Now they are like an artist in residence this year.
They were for a while. They're now over, but they were magnificent, and we really liked it, and it really worked in that space.
In just a few moments that you have left, has it become harder with the economic downturn to get money to keep this program going, Studio in the School?
Well, it is, because people are now cutting their gifts. They used to give more, and now they're saying they'll half it. And we're hoping that they won't do that for our... We're coming up to having a gala for our 35th year, as you mentioned, this October 2nd. And we're just really hoping that people will see that this is... We don't do this except for every 5 years. We've only had the 30th, the 25th, 30th, and this will be our 35th.
Well, let's hope that they save some of the money they're giving to politicians to give to this. But that's a whole other issue. Yeah. There's also an exhibit where kids get to show their work?
Yes, we have quite a few of them because we have a space that we rent down in 1 East 53rd, and we change it quite often because we have different levels of artists. We now have high school kids showing there, and they're some of the magnificent works.
Would you like to see this become an official part of the New York City Board of Education? Have they been cooperative, or have they been resistant?
No, they've been actually wonderful in that they hired Tom as co-chair of the Blueprint for the Arts, and he was very happy to have that position, worked very hard on this project. And so, because I think they recognize that it's a really high quality arts program, and that their trouble is, I would love to see them be in every school with art. They are in a lot more schools than they were once. We had the promise with the blueprints that they did for music and theater and dance too, that we would have it really solidly through the schools. But what you've talked about and everybody knows about is testing has become very important, and many of the principals really have to vie for that program, a program that enhances the children's learning rather than they feel doesn't make the same difference. I think that actually I believe that the arts education enhances their ability to learn other things and to be able to do well on tests. But I haven't been able to convince people, even though I would get on a bus and go around the country with this project and say, look, you got to understand, we've got to know in this country how important the arts are.
Agnes Gund is a major force in the New York art scene. She's the president emerita of the Museum of Modern Art and the founder of Studio in a School, now in its 35th year. Congratulations for the success of the program.
And thank
you. I wish it were around when I was going to school.
Well, I think it would, that you would have enjoyed it.